tears falling from my eyes. The tide came rushing in, took my poor castle out to the sea. If the ocean be that strong, well then, that's where I wanna be. When she reads in the paper that this sick, sad boy has drowned, will she laugh with him and say that funny
WRCT Pittsburgh, the last bastion of pulchritude.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful when Mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. I wanted a better relationship with Dad, so I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Al-Ateen. I'm sure glad I did. Is someone's drinking troubling you? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Al-Ateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Real vinyl.
Thank you. Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
Let's start today with mass shootings. You know, whenever there is news of a specific mass shooting, understandably, the focus becomes the facts of that particular situation. When we had the Buffalo mass shooting where this 18-year-old was targeting black people, this was in Buffalo, New York, not this past weekend, but the previous one, we immediately, understandably, correctly spoke about the details of that incident. Where did the individual come from? What were the motivations of the individual? Who were the victims? What was the response? What has been the political response? And on and on. And whenever we do that, we often will lose the perspective that there are so many of these mass shootings in the United States that it would almost be a full daily podcast just to keep up with the mass shootings that are taking place in the United States. Now, I spoke to a couple of people yesterday, just casually texted friends and said, hey, I'm researching for a story I'm doing. If I just asked how many mass shootings have there been in 2022 so far without looking anything up, what's your sense? And many of them wrote back something like, well, I'm aware of like three or four specific ones that like made the news to the threshold that I was aware of it. So there's probably been like 40 or 50 because we have a huge mass shooting problem here in the United States. We have had, as of yesterday, 210 mass shootings in the United States so far. It's only May. And we have had 210 mass shootings. Never mind individual shootings, as well as shootings in which two, but not more than two people were injured or killed. Remember, if one person shoots two people, by most metrics, that's not considered a mass shooting. You could argue that it should be. But depending on the archive or statistics you look at, it only is considered a mass shooting when three or four people are injured or killed. And bearing that in mind, if you go to the Gun Violence Archive and you can download a spreadsheet of this, you will see 210. Actually, in fact, I believe the number is now 211. Since I last looked at this, there was a mass shooting yesterday in South Carolina, North Charleston, where five people were injured. So it is now 211 mass shootings in the United States. Every single one of these is a story that impacts many people, families, friends, coworkers, etc. If we pick a random one of these, just for example, the second most recent one, which when I looked yesterday was the most recent one. When you look at that one, that was in Goshen, Indiana, by the way, a place I've been to. And it took place on Rosemare Court. When you look at the victims, there was a 17-year-old male who was killed. There was a female injured, another female injured, another female injured. And the suspect is believed to be a 20-year-old male who was also killed, according to the information that we have here. And for every single one of these, typically there is a media source that you can look at. In this case, the media source takes us. Looks like it's a Facebook page, a release from the Goshen Police Department talking about how an emergency call was received that a shooting took place at a residence. Five individuals were injured, according to the report. EMTs were sent out. Two injured females were airlifted to a trauma hospital in Fort Wayne. One was taken to a hospital in South Bend. An injured male was taken to Goshen Hospital, but has been declared deceased. And one male was pronounced deceased at the scene. Every single one of these is a story that affects so many people's lives. And most of these don't even make national news. And one of the things I've talked about before, NPR also about 9 days ago did a story on this. At that point, 9 days ago, there had been 198 mass shootings. Now we're already up to 211. Whenever there's a news story that doesn't have a clear beginning, middle, and end, it often will not make it into the news, or whenever there's an event that like that. So when we talk about, well, there was a shooting where one person was killed and it gets more attention than thousands of people in the United States or however many are going hungry. Whereas that's a major story. How do we still have hunger in a country as rich as the United States? Well, it comes to what makes a good story for corporate media. And I've spoken about this before. Terrorist attacks, weather events, individual shootings, votes on a particular bill. Those have a defined, typically, beginning, middle, and end. They have very clear players. There are very clear sort of goalposts for what is the coverage expected to be and how are these topics discussed. Regular corporate media is not really set up to talk about hunger in the United States in an ongoing way. Okay, there's a food stamp bill, Democrats for, Republicans against, whatever. But the news, corporate for-profit news, is not really set up to talk about that. Malaria in Africa, dysentery, and these are not the types of stories that corporate media is designed to address. And even when you look at the politics, the political stories, the intractable and corrosive nature of how we select our representatives and then how they don't really represent our interests, that's an ongoing and major story. Arguably, it's one of the fundamental stories about how American politics is broken. It doesn't really have a clear beginning, middle, and end. And as a result, it's why you often don't see much about it in corporate news. So to go back to the beginning, 210, 211 now mass shootings in the United States, and it is not even Memorial Day. Hey, this is just the best. This is another reminder of how all of these supposed principles of the modern Republican right are meaningless to them. They only care about what is good for me right now. As you might remember, when we were getting closer to the 2020 election, it was Republicans united that mail-in ballots are bad. Mail-in ballots help Democrats. Mail-in ballots allow Democrats to commit fraud, and on and on and on. And in the immediate aftermath of the 2020 election, it was Republicans saying, we've got to stop the count or start the count or count these correctly or that. But the point was, the mail-in ballots are bad for democracy. They could be criminal. They are fraudulent, and they just must be stopped because that's what the Democrats do. Well, now they are still counting ballots in the Pennsylvania Republican Senate primary. This was the race we covered live last Tuesday, and which on Wednesday I told you Mehmet Oz is just slightly ahead of Dave McCormick, but they're still counting ballots. Well, now Republicans, candidates, and the parties are arguing amongst themselves. Count the mail-in ballots. Don't count them. Include these. Throw these out because they don't have a date on them. They don't care about the principles. All they care about is what helps me right now. There's an article from the New York Times. McCormick sues to count undated mail-in ballots, trailing Oz in Pennsylvania Senate race. Wait a second. Hold on. So in 2020, the problem was any irregular ballot, like it doesn't have a date on it or whatever the case may be, you've got to throw it out. That's bad stuff. Now, the undated mail-in ballots are believed to be likely good for Dave McCormick and not so good for Mehmet Oz. Oh, now we've got to sue. We'd better count those mail-in ballots, even if they don't have a date. As irregular as it is for the ballot to not have a date written in, we must make sure that the will of the voter is represented and that the vote is counted. But you guys were just against that. David McCormick is trying to close the gap against Mehmet Oz in the undecided Republican primary contest. This is Neil Vigder in The New York Times. In a lawsuit filed Monday in Pennsylvania, the Republican Senate candidate David McCormick demanded that undated mail-in ballots should be counted in his primary race against celebrity physician Mehmet Oz, whom he trailed by less than 1,000 votes. McCormick asked the Court of Pennsylvania to allow election officials in all 67 counties to accept mail-in ballots from voters who turned them in by the May 17 deadline, but didn't write the date on the outer return envelopes. That step is required by law, one that Republicans have fought to preserve. It's been Republicans in Pennsylvania and other states who have argued for 2020, if there's no date written on the outside, you put that in the trash, you cover it in rocket fuel, and you burn it. We don't count it. But now all of a sudden, McCormick wants it counted. Okay? Arguing, the ballots were indisputably submitted on time. They were date stamped upon receipt, and no fraud or irregularity has been alleged. In the McCormick campaign's lawsuit, Mr. Hicks, who is this lawyer, took the opposite view of mail-in ballots, saying the election boards in Allegheny County in western Pennsylvania and Blair County have balked at counting the undated ballots. Those counties, he said, were delaying taking action until after Tuesday, when they are required to report unofficial results to the state. The board's refusal to count the ballots at issue violates the protections of the right to vote under the Federal Civil Rights Act and Pennsylvania Constitution. Whoa, that's pretty serious. Now, you might remember that the very same lawyer was part of a group of lawyers that Trump hired to challenge mail-in ballots in the 2020 election. The same lawyer now saying count all the ballots was part of a group of lawyers saying don't count them in November of 2020 when he worked for Donald Trump. As a reminder, here is Dave McCormick on election night saying, hey, you know what? We've still got mail-in ballots coming. We might still be able to win this thing.
Now we're gonna win this campaign. We're gonna win this campaign. And tomorrow, right now, we have tens of thousands of mail-in ballots that have not been counted.
Right.
That are going to need to be counted beginning tomorrow. And so that's, unfortunately, we're not going to have resolution tonight.
Okay. So now mail-in ballots are good. What is the takeaway? The takeaway, these people are pathetic. They don't really have principles. It's whatever's good for me. Whatever is good for me is the principle. We'll see ultimately who wins this one. But just remember this. Just remember this when they start making all sorts of claims about mail-in ballots in November. Monday, Memorial Day, we're doing our one-day membership special. Make sure you're on my newsletter at davidpakman.com. If you are, you'll be notified Monday morning of how to take advantage of this great one-day membership discount. Let's talk next about some incredible statements from Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson, both of which relate to really serious political and media issues here in the United States. First of all, radical, repugnant, retrograde Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene complained that white supremacists are being targeted when it comes to mass shootings and domestic terror. You have to see this to believe it. Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, you know, there's all these different shooters and people doing bad stuff. Some of them are black and all this different stuff. And they only want to target the white supremacists. But as usual, it's all in the details. Listen to what she had to say, and then we'll talk about it.
Bail. I mean, not on the jail, on the bill for this domestic terrorism new bill that came out for the Department of Justice. And Jerry Nadler was on the House floor, and he was talking about white supremacy, and
right.
He was bringing up the terrible shooting that happened in New York, but totally ignoring the shooting that happened in California that I think involved an Asian man that was the shooter, totally ignoring the guy that drove his car, black man that drove his car through a Christmas parade, killing people and was a racist himself, completely ignoring the black man that did the New York subway shooting. You know, these people are all guilty of these crimes, and it's not about race. It shouldn't be about race, but they're clearly racist as well. So white supremacy shouldn't be the main target. We should be more concerned about the illegal invasion at the border, the crime happening every single day on our streets, and especially in cities like Chicago. We should go after criminals that break the law and not pursue people based on their skin color and how they vote.
Okay. Now, of course, people aren't being pursued by the criminal justice system based on their skin color or how they vote. But let's go through her claims one by one. She mentions the California Asian man shooter. That was a shooting at a Taiwanese church in California. One person was killed and five were wounded. It's being investigated as a hate crime. And it was a 68-year-old shooter motivated by the political tensions between China and Taiwan, according to authorities. There's no media narrative. There's no political narrative in the United States meant to activate or inspire any kind of tensions between Chinese and Taiwanese people living in the United States. You don't turn on Fox News and see instigative rhetoric about China and Taiwan such that it would inspire shooters or whatever the case may be. There's really no conversation to be had there about American political discourse and American media. We every once in a while will say, oh, what is China thinking about when it comes to Taiwan? But there is no big media political story that in the United States would have inspired this shooting. So why would we be talking about it in the same terms? Then Marjorie Taylor Greene says, well, the black man that drove his car through a Christmas parade who was a racist. OK, that's the Waukesha Christmas parade attack from November. The driver of an SUV plowed through a Christmas parade, killed six people and injured 62. Terrible, tragic incident. And we know that the perpetrator used the same car to hit his ex-girlfriend 21 days earlier. It's believed that the driver acted alone, didn't even know anyone at the parade, wasn't targeting any particular group of people at the parade. The motive is not equivalent. It is true that the guy was black. It's true that he had a history of social media posts that were anti-Semitic and advocated for violence against Jews and white people and wrote positive stuff about Hitler. Disgusting person, no doubt about it. There is no evidence that the incident is related to the ideology. There just isn't any evidence. So why would we talk about it in the same way? Lastly, Marjorie mentions the New York subway shooting, who was also a black man. That was 6 weeks ago. That's the 2022 New York City subway shooting. Reportedly, the man is a 62-year-old black nationalist who put on a gas mask, threw two smoke grenades, and fired more than 30 rounds from a handgun. Nobody died. Fortunately, 29 were injured. Horrible incident. The believed shooter would sometimes post homophobic rants online, misogynistic rants online, rants targeting blacks, Hispanics, whites, all sorts of different things, anti-Semitic. Believed link to black nationalism. Great. Talk about it. Talk about it. No manifesto, but we've got some of this a paper trail, for lack of a better term. Black nationalism is a tiny movement. There's no political party pushing the ideology of black nationalism. That's it. I mean, I'm against any violent movement, but there is no story here like what happened with the Buffalo shooter, where we have seen years now of a combined political and right-wing media effort to talk about this exact ideology that was in the manifesto. Lastly, Marjorie mentions, and we should focus, if we really want to talk about this stuff, we should be focusing on the illegal invasion at the border. Immigrants, documented and undocumented, commit crime in the United States at a lower rate than domestically born citizens. So by the math of it, that is not where you should focus if you want to stop crime in the United States, because both documented and undocumented immigrants commit crime at a lower rate than American-born Americans, for lack of a better term. So it's a weird thing to insert into the discussion. So why are white supremacists being targeted? Well, they're being targeted because law enforcement and our intelligence agencies have indicated this is a major threat. And we quite literally found the manifesto of the Buffalo shooter, where he was parroting the exact stuff that we've been hearing on Tucker Carlson and elsewhere for years now. That's why, Marjorie. Speaking of Tucker Carlson, we've talked before about projection. When they talk a lot about something the left is doing or should do, really, we should be asking ourselves, aren't they the ones that are doing it? And Tucker Carlson is now calling for Democrats to de-escalate their rhetoric, because it might actually lead to You know, anything from real world violence to extremism. Tucker, that's what you're actually doing. And in fact, when Tucker's rants appear verbatim in the Buffalo Shooters Manifesto, you know that he's desperate to push attention anywhere else that he can. It's projection or the pot calling the kettle black or, you know, whatever analogy or metaphor you want to use. Take a listen to this from last night.
Because rhetoric has its own internal logic.
Right.
Experience. You can talk yourself into things. We've all done that. Democrats are doing it right now. And what they're talking themselves into right now is, quote, something worse. It's scary.
Uh-oh.
It is time to pull back. It is time to de-escalate. Otherwise, this is going to get really ugly really soon.
Well, it did get really ugly really soon. A guy just went to Buffalo to search for black people to shoot because he believed in the great replacement or white replacement theory, which Tucker and other of his right-wing media cohorts have propped up. He's talking about the wrong people. You know, it's almost like he's saying these satanic pro-pedophile Democrats who are desperate to forcibly inject you with a vaccine that's killing hundreds of people, those people need to tone it down because the rhetoric is getting dangerous. No, the rhetoric is coming from their side. And one of the most notable kind of narcissistic traits is these extreme double standards that include projection and accusing others of that which they are actually guilty of doing. It's one of the many tactics that's often used by narcissists and abusers and manipulators and on and on and on. Their rhetoric already incited an insurrectious riot on January 6, 2021. They talk about dangerous illegals against whom we need to be protected, blah, 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 when undocumented and documented immigrants commit crime at a lower rate than Americans. The constant gun rhetoric. We might need Second Amendment solutions. We might need to be ready to take up arms against whoever. Talk of civil war, which we will talk about a little bit later, and the belief that they harbor that increasingly violence is acceptable in order to achieve political results. It's coming from their side, save the occasional, you know, eco-terrorist or whatever. It's almost all coming from their side. We'll have these clips on our Instagram, which you can find at David Pakman Show. We're continuing our conversations with a number of different candidates running in these 2022 midterm elections. And today I'm going to be speaking with Bobby Payton. Bobby is a Republican running for election to the United States Senate to represent Illinois. And Bobby's worked as a portfolio manager. He's on the Republican primary ballot in Illinois on June 28th. The winner of that primary will face incumbent Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth in November. Bobby, great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, these conversations, as many in my audience always tell me, can be so illuminating because I, as someone of the left, want to hear the ideas of people that are Republicans and that are on the right. And sometimes the ideas make some sense and sometimes they don't. And we talk about it and we sort of figure it out and talk through things. So just to start, I've been doing this almost like as a just gut check to start figuring out where people are. So forgive me if the answer to this question is easy. Who's the current president of the United States?
Who's the current president? Well, I guess it's a funny question.
Is it really?
Yeah, I do think it. We live in a very interesting time where there's forces beyond our visibility that
like supernatural.
Not supernatural.
Oh,
there's a group of extremely wealthy, beyond wealthy, like uber wealthy mm-hmm. individuals, not just in the United States, but globally.
Okay.
That call the shots on both parties, not just one party.
Okay.
And so it's almost as though there's a bunch of horse trading taking place behind the scenes. And so, you know, from that perspective, I do believe the will of the American people was ignored in 2020. And the person that's in there is the person that these globalists put in. And that's and I, you know, what I would tell you is I have overwhelming proof. I'll actually be releasing proof from about Illinois tomorrow. General Flynn will be in town. I have a fundraiser for my campaign, Ann Vandersteel, Doug Billings, Jovan Pulitzer, Liz Harris from Arizona, Edward Solomon, who's done work, mathematical work, on proving that our elections across the aisle, folks, the uniparty is very real, and frankly, it's undermining you and me.
Okay, but so, Bobby, that's a lot. So let's take it piece by piece.
Sure.
Who are the rich globalists that you're talking about?
Well, there's a corporate class.
Okay.
A global corporate class that exists that considers themselves to have more rights than any individuals within any nation state.
Who are they?
CEOs of major global corporations.
But can you name some specific people?
So, like, for example, Fink of BlackRock. BlackRock controls $9 trillion of assets through their structure. He's been in control for over 30 years.
Okay. Who
that's
else?
That's one. Bill Gates is one who parlayed his fortune in Microsoft into other areas.
Okay.
So you can argue that Elon Musk is one who's kind of like leaning from left back to right, possibly right for the first time in his life.
Okay.
That's another one. Michael Eisner of Disney used to be one before he retired.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's always this legacy wealth that we all know exists, like the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, for example. The DuPont family backed the individual running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. There's like 4,000 DuPonts.
Okay.
It's not like one boogeyman.
It's a bunch of people. Okay. And so do you trust the results from Pennsylvania from earlier this week where this right wing guy who believes the election was stolen in 2020, Doug Mastriano, he won on Tuesday. Do you trust those results or do you question them?
I think that that the results they're probably manufactured to some degree. Yes. So I think it's across party lines.
So Doug didn't really win.
Well, first of all, here's my question is if we were playing a board game, you and I and two other people, and somehow we knew that there was some stuff flawed with the way the game was set up.
Okay.
And we were playing and, one of us ended up winning, right? But we knew that it was flawed massively. Would it really feel like a win?
Okay, but I'm asking a different question, and I love this because we're really getting down to brass tacks here. In the November 2020 election, Joe Biden was awarded the state of Pennsylvania. Do you believe Joe Biden won in 2020 in Pennsylvania?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And let me explain how.
I'll let you explain it, but I want to just make sure we go sequentially. 2 days ago, Doug Mastriano won in Pennsylvania's gubernatorial primary. Do you believe he actually won?
I think that I have not looked at the data to make that assessment.
Oh.
So I looked at the data with regards to 2020. I actually broke out all 67 counties of the state of Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and I showed how they had destroyed entire last names of voters from both Republican and the Democratic side to create the outcome that they wanted mathematically, and it showed up in the voter registration files in the final result. They literally destroyed 695,000 individuals' names that didn't vote the way their algorithm wanted, and it's a brilliant way to hide their crime. Because
why didn't a single court accept this?
Well, first of all, a couple things. Number one, that information was provided to the Georgia State Senate. Okay?
Wait, hold on. You're talking about Pennsylvania, but now you're talking about Georgia?
Because I released those results. I testified before the Georgia State Senate.
With the Pennsylvania results?
Because those votes were shifted to Georgia.
They shifted votes from Pennsylvania to Georgia.
To Georgia, like a stock portfolio algorithm.
And who did it? People in Pennsylvania or people in Georgia?
somebody, whoever has the power to control the voter registration files and the voting system of those two states, did it.
What person would have control over both systems in two different states?
I think that there's multiple entities that probably have that the means to do that.
Like so, who?
Let's just say the DNC and the RNC. Maybe they did it together, for all I know.
The DNC and the RNC took control of the Pennsylvania and Georgia systems to shift votes from one to the other. But Biden won both, so what was the point in shifting them?
Because once again, I think they do some horse trading behind the scenes, both parties.
Okay.
And they collude to create the outcome that they agree upon,
okay,
based on these mega donors.
All right. So to go back to the question, who's currently the president? Do you have an answer you can give?
I think that right now in the international arena,
okay,
of the world, President Biden is recognized as the president of the United States.
Do you believe that someone else, like maybe Trump, is actually the president?
I have no information to make that kind of judgment or assessment.
Okay.
So I'm not living in a delusional world. okay. You know, where somebody is thinking, you know, there's some kind of like secret plot,
shadow presidency, you know, or something like that.
No. I don't.
Good.
I don't believe in any of that.
Oh,
but
good.
I do agree with what Elon Musk said, which he said, whoever controls Biden's teleprompter is really running this country.
Okay.
I do agree with that statement.
There are so many fascinating things in a Q&A you did with a paper not long ago. Let me actually mention exactly what paper it is. It was a local newspaper, the Shaw Local News Network. You did a Q&A. It's fascinating. Before we get on to the substance, Bobby, in looking at your answers, you do something that Trump does, which is you randomly capitalize words in the middle of sentences that aren't proper nouns. So like in your answers, you randomly capitalize the word farming and the word chemicals. And I could give you a dozen other examples. Can you help me understand,
sure,
what's with the random capitalization?
Yeah, my wife, it's a big pet peeve of hers. So it's a wonderful question. And sometimes, it's very hard because when you write something, you don't always necessarily have people key in on certain words. So I do know that it's not grammatically correct to,
okay,
capitalize. I've had this discussion with my wife plenty of times. And I say I capitalize it because I want to catch people's attention. Instead of italicizing the word or bolding it, I do something that causes them to pause. And so I hope it was effective with you. You know, she thinks it's ineffective to communicate this way.
I agree with your wife. It was such a distraction because I was like, does Bobby think these are proper nouns or what's going on?
So it's a personality quirk.
Fair.
And, you know, to your point, my wife has brought it up. Others have brought it up. Maybe it's time for me to stop doing that.
Something to think about. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So now let me ask you another question. In this same Q&A with the local newspaper, when you were asked about January 6th, one of the things you said is you really want Antifa and Black Lives Matter investigated for what happened on January 6th. Do you have any evidence that Antifa and Black Lives Matter are the ones that committed crimes at the Capitol on that day?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure if I linked it right with that question. I might have mentioned it in the same question, but I'd have to double check. I don't have those notes in front of me.
Okay.
But in terms of those two groups, anti-First Amendment, which is Antifa, right? It's a play on words. It's pretty brilliant.
It means anti-fascist.
Well, it means anti-First Amendment.
It's sort of like if you told me my name means something different. They're like, if I'm coming up with the name, I'm coming up with it because I know what it means to me, right? Antifa says it's anti-fascist. We have to go by what they are meaning with it, don't we?
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny for you to say that because on the left right now, there's people that identify as being a woman that are biologically a male. And, you know, and they could tell you that they have to have a certain pronoun. So I understand. We're going to agree to disagree on what it means.
Well, right. So you were asked about the riots, and what you said about that was that it was a peaceful gathering manipulated by the political establishment, and you want Antifa and BLM investigated for it.
Yes.
Okay.
I do not have evidence that those two were involved.
Good.
I you know, but I think that I do believe that people from both sides of the aisle, mm-hmm. the Uniparty, corrupt Democrats, corrupt Republicans, were both involved in staging this incident in a way that if you notice what happened after that event,
yeah.
we never did get to see any disputes with, you know, like the floor of Congress debate the merits of issues that arose in the ballots properly in all these different states. They kind of brushed through that much faster as a result of that event.
Well, yes, because they realized that it was going to serve no productive purpose, that at the end of the day, there wasn't really any substantive evidence or fraud, nor a legal mechanism to deny Joe Biden the presidency. And they said, it's the middle of the night. We all want to go home. Let's do what is obviously going to be the correct thing to do.
You know what I'd love to do, David?
Yeah.
I'm going to, if you don't mind,
yeah.
make sure you send me your email address.
Please. Tomorrow you'll send me the evidence.
Okay. I will send you a deck
yeah.
With regards to my presentation
Fine.
And some of the slides from tomorrow.
Fine.
And I'm more than happy if you have a Dropbox.
Okay.
I'm glad to send you some data for you to review from the voter registration files of the five battleground states, the work that I did, as well as my write-ups. And I'll gladly let you read it, debate it. I'm glad to do it.
But Bobby, in terms of my question on Antifa and BLM, you believe people from both sides were involved. But I believe that before you said that, you said you have no evidence Antifa or BLM were involved. That's what you said, right?
I do not have evidence that they were involved. I do think that they are based on other things that I've seen, but I don't have the smoking gun, so to speak. I'm not an investigator. I'm asking that there is an investigation held.
And there have been so many which have found either that Joe Biden won by even more, or like it doesn't sound like you're necessarily satisfied with investigations when they don't go your way. What type of investigation would you accept?
Well, a couple things.
Yeah.
Okay. So, number one, when you look at let's talk about the state of Arizona.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So Arizona. There's Maricopa was where the audit took place,
mm-hmm.
right? Everybody knows that.
And you were involved with the Cyber Ninja stuff, right?
I was involved with I was not employed during that audit.
Okay.
I did work on the voter registration files.
Okay.
And proved out that there was a set of voters inserted into the voter registration files that can be called upon when needed to sway the results in any particular precinct.
And they all were registered to the same address, is that correct?
No,
they weren't.
That's not the case that they were all registered to the same address.
Oh.
What happens is in the case, so let's talk about why you need very little to rig an election, especially when you look at the results.
Okay.
If there's an average of about 1,000 people per precinct in this country. So if the vote came out to be 501 to 499, you're talking about what? You're talking about a two vote differential, right? 501 minus 499.
Yes.
So now if you wanted to sway that result the other way from 501 to 409, you only need three votes.
Okay.
You need to go from 501 to 502. So 3 divided by 1,000 is 30 basis points. It's 0.3%. So 1,000 goes into 1,000,000 1,000 times. So per million people that voted, 3 times 1,000 is 3,000 votes. So in the case of Arizona, 3.6 million approximately people voted. So 3 times 3.6 is 10,800. You only need to steal 10,800 votes to affect the election if it was 501 to 499 and you put it to 501 502.
But so this is an imaginary scenario where you're saying
here's what I would say. The data is when you mapped out the data across the 742 precincts within Maricopa. I believe there were 742 precincts. And you calculated what was the number that would be needed in advance to rig the election. and you could generate it before a single ballot was cast. And the numbers came out the way they came out on election day. You would call in the question, mathematically, how can somebody come up with the algorithm for how to do this before a single ballot was cast?
What evidence do you have that anybody did that, though? You're just looking at the numbers after.
I'm more than happy to send it to you. Okay. I'll send you Edward Solomon's
work. It's coming out tomorrow, right?
Well, I was explaining Arizona. Tomorrow I'm going to explain Illinois.
Oh,
so
okay.
So I live in Illinois. I've never exposed Illinois. But okay. I'm going to expose the Senate race for Durbin that okay. took place in 2000. And the Senate race, the U.S. Senate race for Duckworth, my opponent, if I make it through the primary,
right,
in 2016. And I will show you the data. I will do a video. Actually, I'm not sure if we're going to live stream it, but I will gladly send you my supporting documentation,
please,
my video, and I'll explain how they're modifying the voter registration files and using optimizers as well as random functions that exist in Microsoft Excel to do this. Anybody will be able to replicate what I'm talking about if they have Microsoft Excel.
Okay. Bobby, I've got to ask you, because we are out of time, what evidence, if it could be presented, would convince you that Joe Biden just won in 2020? Is there such evidence, if anybody could show it to you, that would make you say, you know what, Biden won?
I think the evidence that would convince me that Biden won is if you said, Bobby, in your state of Illinois, there's 8.9 million people registered to vote.
Okay.
And of those 8.9 million people, this is how many that, you know, were between, you know, the legal age to vote, you know, 18 plus. And they exist in our society in the form of, you know, there was 6 million tax returns filed, or there was 150, you know, like 500,000 Social Security checks paid into the state, or, you know, 200,000, you know, COVID checks that were cashed. And if I can see the receipts of the economic activity of the state, of who's doing these votes, and it ties out to our federal tax receipts, our federal spend, you know, because I'm not saying, you know, I don't, if somebody's retired and they don't have a tax return and they still get government money, they still have a right to vote. So I'm all for, like, oh, this is how many received the check that voted. This is how many paid taxes that voted. And then if all of a sudden there's no record that they exist, economically speaking, you know, like that would put this to rest for me real quick. I'd be like, okay.
It seems we have all of that. That's strange. Listen,
no, but
Bobby,
we don't have it cross-referenced with the actual votes that take place in our system at the current time.
Is your assertion that Joe Biden didn't even really win Illinois? Is that what you're claiming?
I don't know if he won Illinois.
You don't know.
I know that he ran. I could tell you right now that in Illinois, based on my research, there's well over 1.6 million fraudulent registrations in the state of Illinois at the present time.
Okay, but so you're saying that even Illinois, which was won by Democrats in 2016, 2012, 2008, 2004, 2000, etc., 1996. I mean, you're saying that those were all fraudulent, or just in 2020, the Democrat didn't really win?
I think that we need to look at all the elections going back at least 20 years since the machines entered the scene.
Oh, boy. So you think maybe even like Bill Clinton's win in Illinois in 92 was fraudulent?
I didn't say that. We didn't have machines back then.
Oh, OK. 96, 1996.
The machines came in after this criminal by the name of George Bush. I believe he stole the election from Al Gore. In Florida with the hanging Chad incident.
But in 2000 and 2004, where Al Gore and Kerry won Illinois, even though Bush had the machines, you think those might have been fraudulent?
Hold on. The machines came in after the 2000 election.
Okay, so 2004.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that event where George Bush stole the election with the hanging Chad incident with his brother, who was the governor at the time, Jeb Bush, that ushered in these machines. And I think ever since these machines have come online, I think it makes it easy.
Get on my head and into the bed, girl. Cause you don't know, plotting out the fantasy. Hey, baby girl, and it's you are the key, yo. Because I then, from you looking at me, I got me to say you want me. When you gonna give it up to me? Because your body enticing me, making me want it. When you gonna give it up to me? But if not today, girl, then I must see tomorrow. When you fulfill my fantasy. Because you know I give you love and shade like an arrow. When you gonna give it up to me? So back it up there. So pack it up, yeah. Cause I wanna be the man that's really gonna have it up. I'ma kick up and rock it up, yeah. So what is up, yeah? You know you got the vibe. And I'm here to develop and I swell up and double up, yeah. So give me the work, yeah. And rope in two fin for dirty looks and corrupt, yeah. So rev it up, yeah. Girl, go and try your luck, yeah. Cause when you steer it up, you know me have to measure up, yeah. From you looking at me, I got me to say you want me. When you gonna give it up to me? Because your body enticing me, making me want it. When you gonna give it up to me? But if not today, girl, then I must see tomorrow. When you fulfill my fantasy. Because you know I give you love and shade like an arrow. When you gonna give it up to me? Hey, pretty girl, some love to see you walk. Can I have like English for the season when me a talk? This a one up from me yard. Woman, you got me caught. You ever in a me thoughts and I left me in the dark. In a day. First place, girl, that's where you belong. So just let me flip the switch, woman, I can turn it on. And give it a passion from dusk till dawn. Tell me if you want it, fig one, my girl.
You're listening to Noise Theory on WRCT. My name is Liz. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to be live till 3.
Cause your body enticing me, making me want it. When you gonna give it up to me? Well, if not today, girl, then I must see tomorrow. When you fulfill my fantasy. Because you know I give you love and shade like an arrow. When you gonna give it up to me?
Boom, 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 boom in front of me. I just wanna be next. I don't have no fear. Let me see you bring your body right over here. Because you should share it, girl, I care it. And I'm gonna give you love so clear. It's gonna make you shine and watch you by mine. We be rocking it until the end of time. But you're looking at me, I got this, you say you want me. When you gonna give it up to me? Because your body enticing me, making me want it. When you gonna give it up to me? When you gonna today, girl, and I must see tomorrow. When you fulfill my fantasy? Because you know I give you love, it's straight like an arrow. When you gonna give it up to me? Looking at me, I got me, sister, you want me. When you gonna give it up to me? Because your body enticing me, making me want it. When you gonna give it up to me? When you come today, girl, and I must see tomorrow. When you fulfill my fantasy? Because you know I give you love, it's straight like an arrow. When you gonna give it up to me? Yeah, 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 yo, yeah, yo. Chanda Pala, you know we are not yo, yo. Yeah, 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 yo, 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 yo. The SP and we day up on the go, yo. Sean Paul, Keisha Cole, and Don Corleone. Our next chapter. Yeah, man, for all my girls, you know. Keep it, keep it, keep it, keep it sexy.
Punch, punch, boom, boom. 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 Punch, punch, boom, boom.
understand me? Feel me? Yo, girl, you so sexy in your soul and mind. Step in the place, man, you look so divine. Man, the magic look like you're one of a kind. Ready, ready, you come have a good time. Ready, ready, you now wait in line. Ready, ready, you come give them the wine.
Me está volviendo tan loco.
Okay.
porque la llevo tan dentro. Baila conmigo ya y tú vas a descubrir lo que la zumba es.
Zumba, todo el mundo entonces la zumba, pone compasión la zumba. Zumba, zumba,
lo que traigo se llama
zumba,
lo que canto se llama
zumba. Zumba,
ahí la tienes tu cosa buena, algo nuevo pa' mi pueblo y el mundo entero, ¿vale?
Ay, ay, ay. Nous la café yo guayne. Olé un son de calité. Y'a des guichas nous café yo vipé. Long time nous cacaché vipé.
Y'a des chaléa. Café yo dansé. Y'a des chaléa. Café yo vipé.
Quiero ver toda la gente bailar. Quiero ver toda la gente gozar. No puede resistir tu bala.
You're listening to Noise Theory on WRCT.
Juice, macho, quiet, umio, quiet, sky, juice, get that juice. I got. Danser, quitte là, on va danser. Il faut bouger, le gars.